Right now, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, this man is no nonsense. Ladies and gentlemen, John Greco, former Browns lineman, current analyst. He's joining us this morning. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys.
All right, what the hell happened on Sunday?
I feel like, Ken, you know, as I'm watching the game, as bad as some of the parts were of the whole, you know, we're like trying to pick and blame and decide what's wrong. And, you know, at the end, it's like if we execute an extra point, we could go down and at worst tie the game and go into overtime and see what happens. And, you know, it's different. We're 2-2 and we're not having this conversation. We're saying, how can we beat a talented Washington team? But we can't execute an extra point. We get, I mean, let's just be honest, ticky-tack holding calls and negate touchdowns, procedural penalties, missed blocks, missed tackling. It's just, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the teams that I was on in Cleveland that, you know, we just were struggling to find a way to win, that's what this team looks like right now. It's 1 week, you know, an area will, you know, focus, re-energize and correct itself, and then an area that was, you know, ironclad the previous game lets up and is bad. So there's a lot of dark spots right now on the team, and I don't know. I that's why I hear these guys talk about, well, we just got to look at ourselves. We just got to correct the things that we can control, and there's a lot of areas on the team that are not doing that very well right now, and that's the reason why the record is what it is.
You called that a ticky-tack hold because in the game, excuse me, Ross Tucker, he thought it was ticky-tack, and then Gene Steratore came on, and I think Ross is a very nice guy, and I think he kind of was like, okay, I'll be nice to Gene, didn't want to start some fight in it, but I thought it was ticky-tack, but I'm like, well, I'm a Browns fan, I'm emotional, so I've been waiting to ask you. You said ticky-tack.
Yeah, and maybe that I shouldn't have said it that way.
Don't take it back. You sound like Ross Tucker.
Yeah, now who's Ross Tucker now?
I think it was a 50-50 call that, you know, the referee threw the flag. It wasn't like, oh, they scored. This block would have, you know, prevented that score had he not held. I don't think it was like some big conspiracy. I think it was just one of those 50-50 judgment calls because – As they were rewinding it and you were watching Nick Harris really hang the guy out to dry the entire play, but when he went to disengage, I think that's where it was. And when they see that cloth being held and a guy's restricted, when he goes to disengage to try to make a play, that's where you get those, in my words and mind, ticky-tack holding calls. I don't think it was called initially when you saw him, Nick Harris, you know, really extend and there was some jersey grabbing and everything, but that's football. That's how offensive linemen are. I think it was when the defender went to disengage and make a play that, you know, it's hard to know where the quarterback is, and you just have to know that when my guy goes to leave to try to fall and dive, you have to try your best to let go. So, I can't imagine they're blaming Nick Harris. I just think it was more of a 50-50 call by the ref that it was like, you know what, in my mind, yes, it was enough to where when he went to make a play, there was still jersey grabbing, and he prevented him from trying to make a play.
John Greco with us. It's been brought to our attention by the film gurus on social media that the Browns are not handling the stunts well at all, and teams are certainly picking up on it, and they are making us pay. What can be done about that with the existing personnel, John?
That happens in practice, and Anthony, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but I mentioned that on the show, and that's frustrating to see. And the O-lines that I've been on, been a part of, that were struggling and bad, that was what teams would do. And, you know, coaches would lose their minds because Andy Dickerson, I guarantee you, they are watching that tape, they're walking through it, they're practicing it, but at the end of the day, the guys up front have to have the proper technique. There's two things that happen on a twist. There's a penetrator, which is the first guy that tries to get to the looper's hip. So if I'm a guard and I have a three technique and he's going out to try to pick the tackle's hip and then the defensive end, who's the second person in the stunt, the looper, is going. If you guys get on bad levels and the guard doesn't prevent the tackle, the penetrator, from getting to your buddy's hip, then you have two guys blocking one, and he's splitting you, and then the looper's scot-free. So that's what I'm seeing. I'm just seeing the first guy not stopping the penetration to allow the second lineman to pass that off. And it's been showing up every week. And, you know, when Deshaun said that the Giants were doing looks that they hadn't practiced, it was five-man pressures with twists. So that's what they're going to see. They're going to see five-man pressures with twists. And they're going to see that now, where they're going to have three-man games up front. So you'll have two down linemen, interior linemen, angle, and then you'll have a looper. And until they pick it up consistently and shut it down, and you know, Deshaun and the offense make teams pay, you're still going to see it. Because if teams can generate pressure with five people just doing simple games and having the rest of the guys in coverage, I mean, that's easy defense. The defensive coordinator is like, we could do this all day. I don't have to dial up 6-7-man pressures and hope that our back end can cover these guys man-to-man. So until you consistently stop those twists, you're going to see them week in and week out.
John Greco joining us here on the show. What is going on with DeJuan Jones?
Man, I had so much fun watching him last year. He's such a big man, and he was moving well last year. This year, he's not, for whatever reason. I don't know if it's because, you know, he's battling an injury, which I'm sure a lot of guys do and are right now. But for some reason, he looks a tick slower than he did last year. And I think his technique has changed. I don't know if he's getting a little bit lazier on his sets. Without being in the room, I don't know what they're told to do on certain pass situations. But I know good tackles that I've played with in my career had a plan pre-snap against a guy that they were playing in a given situation with whatever pass protection it was, that they would say, hey, I'm going to jump set this guy, I'm going to short set this guy, I'm going to vertical set, I'm going to 45-degree set. They had a plan, and they were able to execute multiple sets given the defender and given the situation with whatever pass protection they were in. And it just seems like DeJuan right now, whatever angles he's taking, his footwork's getting, you know, he's up underneath himself on his footwork. Either he's slow out of his stance, or he's just a step behind where he was at this point last year, because he was so terrific last year, and that's what it's making everybody so frustrated. And you see him making kind of mental mistakes where, you know, there's two guys coming, and you know, he's supposed to block the most dangerous of the two, and he's blocking neither. And I think that's why Deshaun Watson is getting so upset, because everybody knows his potential, and for whatever reason, it's just not there right now. Do I think he can get it corrected and fixed? I do. But, you know, he has to kind of look at what he's done last year, what works best for him, and you know, either get healthy or continue to try to, you know, get in shape. But he's got to work on his sets, because his hands are there. When he gets his big mitts on people, I mean, he locks them down. We've seen him do that against the best pass rushers in the league. But right now, it's just not there, guys. So some of those things that I just said about his technique or just getting out of his stance quicker, you know, continuing to maintain his weight, I've heard people say that, oh, he looks big. Well, yeah, he's a huge man, and they weigh in once a week. So, trust me, they're not sitting there letting that's very well known. They're not letting a guy, oh, let's just let this guy balloon 25 pounds. No, he has a weight, and he's supposed to maintain that, or they're going to, you know, attack his pocketbook. So
do they only do that with offensive linemen, or they do it with everybody on the team?
No, it's everyone. Everybody weighs in every Friday. And I don't know what the fine total is now, but it used to be, you know, $700 a pound. Over. So
whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, yeah,
$700 a pound.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
You guys made a Wagyu?
I'm sorry?
Nothing. Go ahead, John. Yeah. I'm sorry. That was shocking.
Right. No, a lot of people don't know that. So yeah, you know, you're weighing in every week. So it's not like, oh, you know, he's just enjoying himself and going to be 20 pounds over, you know. But maybe he was weighed less last year, and that's a comfortable weight that he can get out of his stance and move effectively. So that's why I think it's something knee related or injury related that's just slowing him a half a tick and causing him to be behind.
That is shocking. That is really shocking. That is. I mean, that might be headline stuff for 92.3 The Fan. I didn't know it was $700 a pot. I knew that you guys find people for that stuff, but that was unbelievable. What did you think of Deshaun Watson's game Sunday?
I thought he played well enough to win. And you know, I've said that on the show, and when they're in situations like in Jacksonville or you know, even last year before he got hurt, I was at the Baltimore game. I told myself long ago, I'm going to stop trying to put him – I know his contract is what it is, and I don't want to expect him to be Superman every week. And then you're just disappointed if he's not, and then you start the whole thing with, oh, who's to blame? Who's to blame for this? The fact of the matter is, you know, when he's putting the ball where it needs to be, if there's a penalty, guys are dropping it, or it's getting tipped and intercepted. I love to see the fire. It seems like he's starting to – be more of a vocal leader, at least out on the field. I'm not saying that he's not behind the scenes, because I hear Joel and some of these other veterans say that he is. And I don't think they're just making that up to make everybody feel better. But yes, he showed signs that, you know, you always hear me talk about his ability to create outside of the pocket and find guys open downfield. And then it happened on the touchdown that got called back about the Nick Harris situation that we talked about earlier. But I thought he'd play well enough for them to win the game, and they didn't. So, of course, we're going to still talk about it. But, you know, that consistency has to be there week in and week out. And we have to see him continue to play that way, and hopefully everybody around him says, okay, we need to elevate our games to match that. Because right now it's every week it's two or three areas of the team that's coming up short, and it's causing them to lose. So, you know, was he the reason to blame this week? No, he was not in the top three to four reasons why they lost. You know, last week, prior weeks, yes, you know, some of the throws weren't there, but this week he played well enough that I thought that they should have won, or they could have won, but they fell short due to a variety of reasons.
Nick Chubb coming back, is that a godsend? Is that as big a deal as we're going to make it out to be? Because he's going to practice tomorrow, and we're all losing our minds here. We're excited.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too, Ken and Anthony, because I think Nick Chubb is such a huge part of this organization and such a fan favorite. He's quiet. He's reserved. He says the right things. He works his ass off. And then he comes out, and he's explosive. So I just think that the team, the fans, the organization needs a spark right now. So I think that he could be that. And when you get David Njoku back, I would hope to assume that these starting tackles are going to be back at some point. You get Wyatt Teller back for divisional games. And you see where this thing lands. And hopefully the defense starts tackling a little bit better. But yeah, Nick Chubb coming back is a big deal, and we should all be excited about it. Is he going to play this weekend? I don't know. But I would have to assume that guy, with his work ethic, with his determination, that he has been doing everything, his rehab, tirelessly to try to get back and be the best version of himself. So we will see what that looks like. I'm excited to hear what the folks in Berea have to say after his practice tomorrow. But I think we should all be excited about it, because he's so explosive and such a big character in this organization.
John Greco with us on the show.
John, one last thing. What are you going to do about keeping Toledo out of the Mountain West Conference?
Yeah, what the hell is that? Yeah.
You can't let this happen.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Well, me personally, I'm just complaining about it with you guys on the radio. The thing is, I heard Big 12. So I was like, okay. There was a big rumor that
Matt Campbell can run, but he can't hide.
You're right. We've won at Iowa State before. We will damn sure do it again. Guys, I don't know. That would be I don't know if I could stay up till 10 o'clock and watch them play teams out west and have to go out there. But if that's what it takes to get them more exposure, to get to continue to build the program and take it to the next level, and get big recruits and start being able to or continue to be able to compete in the NIL sphere and world, and if it gets them into the expanded 12-man playoff and winning championships, hey, we'll win whatever conference we're in. So if it's Mountain West, if it's Big 12, we'll show up, we'll compete, we'll play on Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Ken, we'll play on Thanksgiving. We don't give a damn. Wherever you are, we will play.
John, thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours. And, of course, we'll talk to you again next week.
Guys, it's always fun. Have a good day.
You too. John Greco joining us. Almost thought he was going to say, I don't give a bleep what day.